Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Well, good morning, everybody. We are live on the Rod Peterson Show for a Tuesday, July 2nd, 2019. Filming from the bunker in sunshiny Saskatchewan, episode number 22 of the program. I am your host, the aforementioned Rod Peterson. Pleased to be joined on set by Marshall Hamilton and Darren DuPont. On the way on the program, another Rider alum along with Marshall, a guy by the name of Mike Abu Meshrick will be with us. And his father's in town from Lebanon. And I believe he'll be on the set. Apparently Gaynor's trending in Lebanon too. Not just across Canada, but in Lebanon too. CTV's Lee Jones will be with us via video chat as well, as he's on a month-long paternal leave, we understand. And Lee will join us, his sideline shoes being very well filled by Claire Hanna of CTV TSN. But Lee will be with us today to talk about all things CFL, all things Rider. Saskatchewan Roughriders knocking off the Argonauts 32-7 last night at Mosaic Stadium. Turned into a long night. Could have been a lot longer, I guess, with the weather delay. Two-hour delay because of the lightning and the storm. In the old days, Marshall, you'd have just played. Am I right? You guys would have just kept going. To hell with the lightning.
I mean, that's true. I mean, I honestly don't remember a lightning delay ever. Not just when I played in the 5 years, but also just all the years I was growing up. I don't remember a lightning delay. I'm not saying that's right, but, you know, we were much more apt to err on the side of safety nowadays in society. So I think it's the right thing to do. But the only thing I can remember in my five-year career was a blackout. There was a power failure, and obviously we had to stop because of the power failure, and that was at home against Hamilton one of those years. But lightning, no. I don't remember ever stopping for that.
Well, they didn't have the technology back then like they do now. Right, safety first, as they say. Safety doesn't take a holiday, but a two-hour delay. And so, yes, the Riders were up 25-0 at that time, just before the half, and social media was rife with comments about Gaynor the Gopher, the new Gaynor. Which we'll get to. And then as the Riders continue to romp to victory, and we'll get to our thoughts on the game. Yeah, the Argos, wonderful slump busters for the Rough Riders. Yes, the Argos are that bad. That's not the Rough Riders' fault. You know, the Riders pasted them in the football. It could have been 50-0 if it wasn't for the delay. That's the way it was trending. And then probably 30 minutes after the game, it went back to Gaynor. And Darren, as you know, it's trending across Canada. Clark, producer Clark, can you throw up the photo of Gaynor for those that don't know what we're talking about, those watching live on Facebook? There it is.
Oh,
courtesy of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. The very svelte, I don't know, he looks like a skinny rat.
Yes.
Everybody's talking about his eyes. What was wrong with the old Gaynor? He was lovable. He was somewhat plump. He had a little junk in the trunk. He was our Gaynor. Habitually voted the best mascot in the CFL, one of the top in Canada, one of the top in pro football, and they've elected to change it. And 3downnation.com, our friends at 3down have a story up. Did you see it today?
I haven't read it yet.
It's about the reaction on social media to the new Gaynor. And I thought some of the funniest tweets and posts, they didn't even include in it.
Yeah.
My friend Krista writing on Twitter, she goes, I think that guy was begging for money outside McDonald's earlier today. That kind of stuff. To say that he's a meth head looks like is an insult to meth heads. I don't have that they want to streamline him. I don't. I'm being somewhat facetious here, but the eyes, they're menacing and mean.
and creepy.
He's got the permanent Joker smile going on, like it's been painted and cut into his lips. Yeah, it's not good.
Well, I think you want your mascot to look lovable. Don't you want him to look lovable?
Well, it doesn't happen often when some of these redesigns go really, really well. Edmonton, the new mascot, it haunts children's dreams, the Edmonton Oilers mascot.
What about the Philly guy?
Gritty has taken over the world. He's done it really well.
People
like Gritty, but he looks like one of the McDonald's characters. So that worked. I don't know why they decided to change what was really working.
Well, I suspect I know why, but... But first of all, I like the new look, except for the eyes. But other than the eyes, I think where this is headed, when I think of my two favorite mascots in all of sports is probably the San Diego Chicken. I don't know if they still have it anymore.
I don't think so.
But he was my favorite. And actually, for those of us that are old enough to remember, he did a guest appearance in Saskatchewan back when I was playing. And I remember him doing a little skit to the song Whip It Good. And he was tossing around this referee, and everybody in the crowd was howling. And I'm sitting on the sidelines, and I was probably about 20 feet away from the San Diego Chicken doing this. And I'm trying not to laugh because it was so funny. And I look over, and right next to me is Joe Farigelli, our head coach. And he's going, ah!
The coach.
The coach. So I figured, well, I guess it's okay if the coach is doing it. I can laugh, too. But my point is, the San Diego Chicken is one of them. The second one is the Oregon Ducks mascot. And what they are is they're a slimmer version. And because of the suits that they're wearing, they're able to do things like, I mean, the Oregon Duck guy, after every touchdown, does 7 push-ups. And then if they score another one, then he's got to do 14 push-ups. And, well, imagine Gaynor trying to do something like that, or, you know, and they're not going to bring out a backboard and dunk basketballs like they do at a basketball game, but I suspect that's where the organization's going, is they want to have somebody that can be more entertaining, somebody that can body surf through the stands, or somebody that can do flips on the field,
or
whatever.
Well, they had Milt Stegall body surfing yesterday.
Well, yeah. So I suspect that's where they're going with this, but I like the slim look. I'm fine with that, other than it makes us that aren't slim look bad. And the eyes, I wish the eyes were a little different.
If you're not slim, what the hell are we?
Yeah,
this
right?
This guy's ripped.
I got to say, some of the comments on Twitter, but even in our feed this morning, before we even went to air, the people are coming up with creative things. And the Photoshop one I tweeted out last night, I got to find out if you know who put the Photoshop together of old Gaynor and new Gaynor, and he's like, I'm with stupid. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Creative.
I'm sure the writers don't care.
Yeah, the old Gaynor.
The old Gaynor with a new one. Sign that says I'm with stupid. What they photoshopped before the Photoshop is the referee. Remember that sign Gaynor used to stand beside the ref and
yes.
I'm with stupid?
Oh, okay.
And they put the new Gaynor in there. So anyway, I'm sure the writers really don't care what everybody thinks. I wouldn't think. I don't know what they thought the reaction would be. But one of our new sponsors, one of the many, is Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Thank you for coming aboard. And they're going to sponsor our Twitter poll daily, guys. The question today, what are your thoughts on new Gaynor? Thumbs up or thumbs down? 81% giving thumbs down to new Gaynor. I'm interested, Marshall, if you say that your problem is only the eyes, the rest are you okay with? How would you vote in the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll?
Well, before I answer the question, first of all, I'd like to say that you know, when you make change like that, we're a change resistant society. So I would predict this is going to be 80-20. I like the old Gaynor better. But give credit to the new Gaynor. The new Gaynor hasn't had a chance to, we haven't had a chance to fall in love with him. All we've seen is the slim look and these eyes that everybody thinks is a
creepy.
You know, somebody should be driving a candy van. But he's a guy that I think we're going to start to fall in love with when he starts doing different antics, the kind of antics that you can only do if you're in a slimmer costume, so to speak. So I would vote for, I like the new Gaynor. But let's wait to see. Let's do this poll at the end of the year and say, which did you prefer, the old Gaynor or the new Gaynor? Right now, it's not a fair competition.
There is a petition going around, by the way.
It might not last the whole year.
Well, I'm not politically inclined, as you guys know, and I think the viewers know. So I don't really know, but I don't ever remember a petition causing change. And I'm sure I'm completely wrong, but the ones that I know haven't. There was, for instance, there was a petition going around to get John Lynch into the Plaza of Honor. Joe Loomis was the guy. Brad Wall signed that amongst a couple of thousand names. Didn't get him into the plaza. Like, is a petition going to bring back the old Gainer? I don't think so. No. I don't think so. On the Facebook feed, rolling in, Dallas says Saskatchewan hates change, and it's super annoying. From Derek, my Spanish wife wants everyone to know the J in Fajardo is an H sound. Well, unless... Derek, tell your wife it's Fajardo. Okay? I've been at events with the guy. This is how he wants it said. Like June and July aren't said June and July in Canada. He's in Saskatchewan. It's Fajardo. So please tell your wife to get with a program, not us. The comments rolling in. By the way, another new sponsor, Prairie Mobile Text Line Dupes. We got that rolling.
Oh, yeah.
You can text the show at any time, 306-840-8777. That's TPRS, the Rod Peterson Show, TRPS. 840-8777. You can reach us here. I don't know. I'm not done with Gainer, but it's a theme we can continue throughout the day. It is, well, actually, Daryl Davis wrote a column this morning, CJME.com, that the mascot controversy is overshadowed. A tremendous game by the Rough Riders. And he would be correct in that. You taped the game, Marshall. Tell our viewers, if you don't mind, how you didn't see the end of the game and why.
Well, first of all, let me do a quick shout out. There's a 1% chance my wife is watching. And if she's watching, happy anniversary, honey. It's our 36th wedding anniversary today.
Kudos. Michelle.
Wow.
Michelle, yes, Michelle. Yesterday, Michelle, who's from Saudi, and I went with some friends and played in the Saudi pickleball tournament, which was a fantastic event, a lot of fun, played a lot of pickleball, had a lot of fun, and they had the game on the big screen when we were having dinner that night. I knew I was taping it at home, so I didn't pay as much attention to it there as I did. So I get home, tired from playing pickleball, get out the PVR, start watching the game, get through the first half, and as you know, 2 hour rain delay, and then I'm going, is my PVR going to record the rest of this game? So I ended up only being able to watch the first three quarters because of the rain delay and the, who could have anticipated a 2 hour rain delay and set your recorder to go that far?
I didn't know the weather was coming like that. Did you guys?
I knew when we were done setting up, I could see it black off in the distance, but before that, like during the day, had no idea.
I got to check my weather apps more closely than I have been. Anyways, sorry,
but
Marshall.
Even the weather, no, that's fine. But even the weather that I experienced as we were driving back from Saudi, and the weather we had at Saskatchewan Beach, we had weather same as Regina, but it was a lot shorter. So Regina had a longer. I mean, the fact that it was a 2 hour. I mean, to have a half an hour lightning delay, I get it. An hour, I get it. 2 hours, that's a long lightning delay, and so. I missed the fourth quarter.
Right. Well, you honestly didn't miss much.
I think the game was over pretty much at halftime.
25-0, Riders led in the first half. Second half, the score 7-7. So I guess the delay favored the Argos if it favored anybody. I do think the Riders would have steamrolled to a 50-0 romp if they just kept going, if not for the delay. Now, I was sitting in the Molson box. Those boys were questioning me on our supporting District Brewing for the Army. They're just like, what are you doing? All we've done for you with Molson all these years. I'm like, well, hey, they're supporting the Army. And we had the tailgate, which was awesome. Anyways, I'm visiting with Rusty Hardman, and all of a sudden I see the Argos trotting into the locker room. I'm like, oh, it's halftime? And it was like minute 29 to go, I think. And he's like, this isn't halftime. There's a storm. Oh, okay. So anyways, went back. I was in the Capitol suite, so thank you to Capitol, one of our newest sponsors. I would hated to have been in the crowd during that. And I saw photos of people on the concourse that looked like they were herded cattle, you know? And if you're claustrophobic, it would have been horrible. You were one of them? You're smiling at me like, where were you?
I was not. Everyone's reminds them of the Edmonton game, too. And you wouldn't have been there for that. You'd have been in the press box.
2007,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I remember being there for that. You had people with popcorn buckets on their heads trying to stay dry during the game in Edmonton. But it was really cool once that game resumed and, you know, another... good fourth quarter for the Riders, for the people who stayed.
But, and on that note, I mean, if you were to ask me, Marshall, what's your five top football games that you remember? That's in my top five. I don't know what number I'd put it at, but that was in my top five. And for those that don't remember, I'll give you a quick summary. I think the Riders, this is about the third end of the third quarter, somewhere in there, maybe midway through the third quarter. There's about a 1 hour delay, maybe it's an hour and 15 minutes.
59 minutes. Trust me, I had to fill the time.
1 hour. Yeah. Okay. 1 hour, a 1 hour delay because of lightning and rain and stuff like that. And it came down really hard. And we all sort of tucked back in. I was on the east side stands with my son, and we tucked back into the stands and we sat there and had a couple drinks and visited and waited for the game. And probably about half of the fans, I think it was a full stadium, but half of the fans went home. Yeah. When we came out, it was unbelievably electric. And I don't mean electric as in the storm, but just the electricity in the fans was so buzzing. And the Riders were down at the point at that point. And they came out of that locker room with, you know, probably went from 30,000 fans to 15,000 fans. And those 15 of us were that were there were louder than the 30 that were there before the rain delay. And that was the one where Tillman was out there waving the big Saskatchewan flag.
On the golf ball retriever.
Yeah, yeah. And the Riders came back and won that game. And in my view, that was the road to the Grey Cup that year.
Yeah. I mean,
that was, it was 2007, I think, was
Ricky
the year.
Ray was the quarterback, right, with Edmonton? Yeah.
It was just an electric game and so, so memorable. And I'm so glad I stayed.
It was like a rock concert. Everybody would climb up seats and push down to the front rows, and you were standing on the bleachers, tucked right in on the stadium. And yeah, it was so loud.
Yeah.
Mike Abel-Meshrick is in the building. He's over on the sponsor's couch, and he's saying he's got goosebumps listening to you talk about that. And interestingly enough, Jeremy O'Day has a photo in his office of Mike Abel-Meshrick. It's of all of them from that game, the offensive line of the Riders. And it was 2007, very special point. And actually, some guys said that, I think Abu might, he'll be joining us shortly. That might have been the turning point of the season.
Well,
the
tipping point. That was my view. Yeah. I really felt that that was the first step towards the Grey Cup. Well, Abu played in that game, right? So we'll hear his thoughts.
Yeah, I'm getting distracted by all the comments on the Facebook feed. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
What people are writing in this morning and joining us. From Fernie Allery, loving the show from Banff, Alberta. From Jordan in Yorkton, how about a shout out for game day operations for some great segments during TV commercial breaks? Used to be TV ads blaring over loudspeakers. I was paying attention to that, and that was enjoyable. The Rider players singing karaoke, yep. These eyes. You wouldn't have seen that, Marshall, because you were not there. But there was some fun things. The bloopers, the fan bloopers and stuff. So that was cool. Again, updating the Tuesday Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll. What are your thoughts on new Gainer? 80% thumbs down, 20% thumbs up. I don't anticipate that's going to change much as the program goes along today. This is the opening warm-up, by the way. In a moment, we'll take a break. Dupes will go do Dupes things, and Abu will join us. But there was a couple other things I just wanted to mention on the weekend that we'll get into with Abu and Darren. Give me your thoughts. Actually, you were coming home from Kelowna. I don't think you saw the Calgary BC game.
You know what? Caught it, a good chunk of it in the airport in Calgary. We had a layover as that game started. So saw it, and then as I landed back in Regina, all of a sudden Calgary was back in it, and they were leading the football game. So I saw the finish, and I saw
the
first half, and I saw the finish.
Well, they're telling me that warm-up's over and we need to get off the ice. So we'll delve into this more deeply with Abu later, because I was at a birthday party with him Sunday. We were discussing what looked like Mike Riley blowing up at his teammates at the end of that game. We all had different opinions on that. Shocking. And life would be real boring if we all saw things the same way. And I'm sure, Marshall, you have your thoughts. I got the scores here. Friday night, Hamilton blows out Montreal 41-10. We mentioned Calgary comes back to beat BC 36-32. And way back on Thursday, Canada's game of the week, Winnipeg Blue Bombers improved to 2-0, beating Edmonton 28-21, their first loss of the season for the Eskimos. As they said to me at Regina Beach on the weekend, or specifically Glen Harbor, they said, yours is a CFL show. I was just standing on the beach, and guys were coming up to me saying, that's a great CFL show. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. But we're still going to bring on Dave Tippett of the Oilers and Theo Fleury and Gary Lawless from Vegas and Ben Hebert from the curling community. So we're talking about a lot of things on this program. But if you want to say that it's a CFL show, that works too, because I know the entire CFL is watching. On the other side of the break, CTV TSN's Lee Jones. Darren, thanks for joining us for the warm-up, and we'll be seeing you for the overtime.
Sure.
What do you say? So you're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and iTunes and iHeartRadio.
Employer pricing is back.
It is the best time to buy right now.
You pay what we pay.
It's like you work here,
but you don't have to work here.
Check out this brand new 2019 GMC Sierra AT4 Double Cab. Its employee price is just $62.77 plus tax. That's just $219 weekly with zero down. Plus, employee pricing means savings up to $12,000 on new inventory. Or take advantage of 0% financing over 84 months.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
All right, welcome back. Tuesday morning sports update. The Argos Riders game was over early in Regina last night, but still went nearly 5 hours. Cody Fajardo threw for 430 yards and 2 touchdowns as the Riders beat the visiting Argos 32-7 at Mosaic, a game which was delayed 2 hours because of a summer storm. The Blue Jays were winners on Canada Day. Freddie Galvis hit a pair of solo homers, and Kevin Biggio matched his career high with 4 RBIs as Toronto hammered the Kansas City Royals 11-4 at Rogers Center. Major League Baseball has been rocked by the sudden death of Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs at age 27. Skaggs was with the team in Texas when he was found unresponsive in his hotel room and pronounced dead at the scene. Police said they are investigating, but no foul play is expected or suspected at this time. The death has led to the postponement of LA's game against the Rangers. Just listening to news coverage out of the States there this morning, they're saying it's very similar to Jose Fernandez with the Marlins, if you guys remember, a few years ago, dying in a boating accident the night before a game. Just a tragic, tragic circumstance there. And the big news, as free agency opened to the NHL, the Leafs made a late blockbuster deal by acquiring defenseman Tyson Barrie, forward Alex Kerfoot, and a 2020 sixth-round pick from Colorado. The Avalanche get back forward Nazem Kadri, prospect defenseman Kali Rosen, and a 2020 third-round pick. So there's your Tuesday morning sports update. Mike Ebel-Meshrig has joined us on set. Marshall Hamilton with us, a pair of Rider alumni right there. We're going out on the video chat this morning. CTV Regina's Lee Jones joining us from, I believe, his home. LJ, how are you, my friend?
Not too bad. How you doing, Rod?
It's good. It's good. So can you tell your Raging Masses fans what you're up to these days and why you're not on television for the time being?
Well, I'm on paternal leave for the next 3 to 4 weeks. I've been on it for a week already, so I'm growing a paternal week, or guys, paternal beard right now. It's looking pretty good so far, I think. But taking care of my 11-month-old son, Remy, it's a blast. It's a little weird not being at work, but he's the priority for sure right now.
The boys want to know when we can get you in studio, and they want you to know that there's a spot for Remy on the sponsor's couch at any time. Can we make that happen?
we'll see what we can do. I think he'll make he has made his TV appearance, and he was pretty good at it. So maybe we can get him to make his Rod Peterson appearance.
Okay. So what was your take on the game? And we're going to get around to Gainergate. But your take on the Riders' win over the Argos?
Well, thoroughly impressed. And considering I felt like this was kind of a watermark, and that offensively they played well against Ottawa, but I wanted to see it two games in a row. And what impressed me was not just the way that Cody Fajardo threw the ball, but the way he commanded the huddle and just smart decisions. It was a live mic game on TSN yesterday, and you saw in the fourth quarter that he actually talked about throwing a ball away and described to the coaches why he did that, because there was a wrong route. Instead of panicking, instead of trying to throw one up, he just threw it straight in the ground where no one can get it. And I think it shows just kind of how smart of a quarterback he is, the ability for him to lead the offense, and as well as his ability to escape. I mean, he can run with the football, but he's not going to be like a Nealon Green like we saw 15 years ago, where he'll go for the first read and then run if it's not there. He looks like he has the ability where he wants to stay in the pocket, but he has escapability, and that's something we haven't seen in Saskatchewan since Darian Durant.
You are now the CTV Supper News anchor, and Claire Hanna's doing those sidelines. Were you thinking last night what you'd be doing if you were doing the sidelines to fill the time?
Yeah, well, first of all, I was thinking, thank goodness I'm not on the sidelines, because, you know, I don't have Claire Hanna hair, and if this gets drenched, if I don't have millions of hairspray in it, I'm going to just look like a poodle, so just a soaked poodle. But, no, it's one of those things where you're rushing to try and get as much information as you can, and when you have a two-hour break, you're starting to wonder, are we going to hit the 9:15 time where they're going to cancel and just stop the game right there? So I felt a little bit bad for her. That was Sarah Orleski's trait, seems to get the bad weather, but maybe this year might be Claire. We'll have to wait and see.
And I don't know, lastly, Lee, if you watched the news conference after with Craig Dickinson. I did, and he was immediately getting asked about Calgary this Saturday, and he's like, whoa, can we just enjoy this? But it is Saturday, and it is the Stampeders. It's not that far away. What's your take on that game?
That's going to be an interesting game, because I think a lot of people looked at this Toronto game and it was a must-win game because of the way the Argonauts have looked early in the season. But I think this is going to really show where this team is. Calgary isn't a team that used to be, as we've seen the last couple of games. We don't know who's going to be at quarterback, likely Arbuckle, if this injury to Bo Levi Mitchell and his pectoral muscle is serious enough. But we're going to get a good idea of what this defense could do, and we're going to get a really good idea of this offense if they can keep it going three games in a row. They said they're going to be a running attack game, but offense. But we've seen Cody Fajardo throw for 400 yards. They can show they can throw both ways, whether it's running or throwing a football. It's going to be interesting. I think they've got a really good shot of winning this game from what I've seen so far. If that defense can show signs of what they've been able to do, especially clutch interceptions, guys. I mean, that interception by Moncrief, it was a 6-0 game. If they score and it's 7-6, you never know. Things might have been tied all the way through. But if they get those interceptions like that deep in their zone and then set up a touchdown on the very next play for Kyron Moore, they could put themselves in a good position against a Calgary team that has shown vulnerability. So this is a good chance for them to show exactly where they are when it comes to the West Division, especially considering it's their first West Division opponent.
LJ, you still got it. Talking sports. So the next time, can we get you in studio here? And please bring Remy. We got some gifts for the kid.
Well, I'll let Remy do most of the talking. All he'll be able to say is mama and dada. And maybe I'll get him to say Gainer, although I'm not sure if he sees what Gainer looks like right now, if he'll be extremely impressed. So we'll have to wait and see.
A hide Gainer. You don't want him having nightmares. Scar the kid for life.
There's some free candy in there for him if he
you are Gainer. You with the candy. Lee, thank you. Have a great day, my friend.
All right. Talk to you later, Rod.
CTV Regina's Lee Jones. And again, hats off to CTV Regina for their support of this program, putting on Donnie Hewitt and Daryl Rommel, the Bandit, Claire Hanna, and the like. Appreciate it. The poll, he brought up Gainer. I didn't this time. So our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll, daily poll, what are your thoughts on new Gainer? It remains the same. Hundreds of votes, but 80% giving a thumbs down, 20% giving a thumbs up to new Gainer. And there is now, we've learned, a petition going around, to an online petition to get old Gainer brought back. I don't expect it'll work, but it could very well happen. By Saturday, we don't have much time. Anyways, we welcome to the program 10-year CFL veteran, Grey Cup champion, Mike Abu-Meshrick. How you doing,
Abu? So good. What a great
day. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, great day.
Good.
Stepped in a puddle of mud before I walked in here. Almost ruined my chucks, but I'll get over it.
I saw you in the bathroom wiping off your shoes. I didn't know what had happened there. Yeah. Where do you want to start on the 32-7 Ryder win over the Argos last night?
With
anywhere you want.
How about Cody Fajardo?
Fajardo, yes.
Fajardo? Well, I was cutting up some jalapeno peppers at the time up on Rockdale Boulevard.
Yeah.
But he's running, it's the offensive system. And he's running the plays the way they're supposed to be playing. He's not going outside of himself. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. And football is that game where if you do what you're supposed to do and nothing else, you're usually really good at what you do. And that's what I saw from Cody Fajardo. Man, now I'm second guessing everything. How do I say anything?
I was just going to say, there's three things that I really liked about Cody from that game. And keep in mind that I saw this on television. I didn't get a chance to see it in person. So I got a chance to pick up some things that you might not have seen if you were to watch it live. But what you picked up, because it was a live mic game, there was one incident where he overthrew his receiver into the corner of the end zone. And when he came back to the huddle, he said, these exact words, but it was something like, my bad, if I'd have had that there, that was a touchdown, it's on me, or something like that. And the receiver really appreciates hearing that, as opposed to, you should have been running faster, or you were running the wrong route. He took that as responsibility. Second thing I like...
He looks like he's having fun. Sorry, before you get... And I think that's part of it, is just, you can screw up when you're having fun.
Yep. And the second thing I really liked, was the fact that I heard through the TSN broadcast that he was reminding the players in the dressing room, this is a guy who's not a rookie, but he's sort of the first-year starter, so in that sense, he's somewhat of a rookie. But he's reminding everybody about that Super Bowl game where there was a blackout and the Ravens against the 49ers, and after the blackout, the 49ers almost came back and won that game. He's reminding them that there is the potential for a serious momentum shift when you come in after a long delay, which they had, a 2-hour and 4-minute delay. So that was the second thing that I really liked about Fajardo. And the third thing is, I think everybody's talking about his 400-plus yards passing and things like that, but the part that impresses me the most, zero interceptions. Yeah. That is impressive.
If you run the play, throw the guy that's open, you get 400 yards and no receptions. That's what I like. I like how boring he is. How about that?
I don't think he's that boring. He was very elusive in the pocket, man.
Yeah. Yet.
Lee mentioned Nealon. He looked like Nealon, but he let go the ball. In terms of how quick he was.
But that's what Lee was saying. He didn't, as soon as he saw green, he didn't start running for it. He ran the play. If it wasn't there, then he took off. A lot of the times it was sprint out. It was rollout. You know, what do they call it? The read pass, RPO.
RPO, yeah. Run pass option.
That's in every play ever. That's not like a real thing.
Sounds good, though.
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, RPO. He's really athletic, and he runs the play, makes good decision. And I think what you're saying is, your second point was, he's experienced. You're saying he's a rookie. He's got 4 years. He understands how to run the CFL offense. He understands CFL defenses as well.
And he's leading. That what he said in the dressing room, that's a leader.
Yeah.
That's what I love too.
You can't do that when you're thrown into the deep end as a rookie or first time in the CFL, being like, okay, there's an extra guy out there. Don't throw the wide side out. What the hell's a dig route up here anyways? It's a cornerback or is it a halfback? What are they called? What's a safety anyway?
What's a safety? What's a free safety?
Yeah, there's a
free. How did I come there free?
Yeah, you can't be leading and reminding the guys about. So that's what I like Fajardo about. You know, he was pulled after the first. He was brought in as a backup to a guy that wasn't going to play the entire year. Yep. He was brought in to play. And what we were saying, Caleros, I like the way he plays. Unfortunately, I never... He is what it is. He's got a gun. He's got a hose. I'm not sure he really matches his offense. Fajardo does.
Has anybody mentioned Zach Caleros' name in the last 2 weeks?
Only like this, Zach Caleros.
The guy that wrote the column on my website this morning at rodpeterson.com out of the tunnel said it'll be interesting to see what happens when Zach Caleros comes back. And this is a guy that would maybe have some inside information. I don't know. That's the only thing that I've heard about Zach when you bring that up. By the way, do you want to go to Montana's for lunch and have some fajitas later?
I love fajitas.
Yeah.
With some jalapeno peppers.
On the Fajardo thing, we got to put this to bed. And you can ask, I'll tell you this. Darryl Brace, the Riders' public address announcer, he checks with the players one-on-one to get their name.
Mike Abumekrek is what's...
You get that all the time.
You can say Abumekrek. All the letters are there. It's Meshrek.
No,
it's
but Darryl checks, and he's got it as Fajardo. And the other thing is, have you guys... Are you familiar with the group Athletes in Action? I haven't seen you at any of the events, but you know what? I'm teasing you, sort of.
Because you're not
I am there! It's for Christian athletes. It's a big group all across this continent, and I've been at events that Cody's spoken at, and the MC is habitually Herbie Kuhn, who is the chaplain for the Argos, the Raptors, the entire MLSE conglomerate. Herbie's getting another ring, by the way, as the Raptors chaplain and public address announcer. But he had Cody on stage a couple years ago. I believe it was when he was with the Argos. He said, "How do you say your name?" Fajardo. And I'll never, ever forget it. So when it comes out of the guy's horse's mouth, you would hope that they would get it correct. Now, can you keep this comment up here, please, Clark, from Garnet from North Battleford? We're coming to that. But Marshall and Abu, I got to give a shout-out to Cody Fajardo in his veteran status in the league. George Cortez and I talk about this on the phone all the time. George has mentored so many young quarterbacks that have come into this league, and he says it takes 2 to 3 years, meetings, practice reps, film, all of it.
Durant, Jerry Joseph.
But stop. Just hang on. Because in the game notes on the weekend, I was looking at yards passing for a Rider quarterback in their debut. And I'm looking at some of the guys that have come through here. Brett Smith, Keith Price, Seth Deggy, Tino Sincere. Like boom, 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 boom. And they were all discardable. They were all starting in their first year. And where are they now? In the most cases, coaching somewhere. What'd you say on corner pumping gas. Fajardo, it can't be discounted, and I'm sure George is listening in Houston right now, nodding his head, because he said he listens all the time. It's year five, Marshall. Cody should be happy. He's probably going nuts waiting this long.
I think it's awesome, and I think what goes unsaid very much, although I think this is the second time I've said it on this show, he didn't just spend 2 or 3 years in the league learning and watching film. He spent 2 or 3 years in the league doing that with Ricky Ray, with Travis Lule. I mean, he's been tutored by two MOPs or in some cases multiple MOP individuals. So he's had a chance to learn from some of the best. And that is in my view, that's not why he's throwing for 400 yards. That's why he's throwing no interceptions. That's why he's being the leader he is in the locker room. That's why he's being the leader he is in the huddle. I mean, personally, and I'm going to put my vote out there for live mic games. If I could, and I love Glenn Suter, even though he replaced me, and I love Chris Cuthbert, I'd rather just listen to the players. I'd rather just listen to the live mic. I don't need to know what down and distance is. I don't need to know how much. I mean, now with that scrolls at the bottom of the screen, I love the live mic games. That's when you really see the flavor of what's happening on that football field.
Do you, though?
Yeah, I do.
Because they edit that so much.
Well, I wish the swearing could still be in there.
Well, that's what they got to say. That's what I mean. Like, put your kids to bed. Start the game at 10 o'clock. Because that's what it's really like. Because they hit anytime the good stuff came, they hit edit.
I agree.
Bishop, 97, D lineman come off the... after that rumble they had.
And Chamberlain
after
wanted to give him crap and hear what's going on.
He goes, "What's up, baby?" He goes, "That mother..."
Yeah. But then you don't hear the stuff you want to see.
But then they're standing there talking, and you just see they're talking.
Yeah.
But they're using the language of
something
football.
Was edited, yes.
And you could have learned an awful lot. Language aside, you could have learned an awful lot about that interaction.
And come on, that's... My son's 10 now. And, you know,
point well
when
taken.
He's playing with his kid, with his buddies, I'm not out there running. Don't say poop, you know.
Yeah. Don't swear, yeah. Hey, we have to take a break. Appreciate the comments rolling in from, we got one from Alabama this morning. Jason down there says, if the Riders lost last night, the talk about Gaynor would be zero. Well, we're trying to get around to the game, but everybody else is talking about Gaynor. Janice says, Gaynor, hard no. An update, fine, but don't get rid of the lovable part, his face. I don't think we have a problem with Gaynor losing weight. That's healthy for you. But everybody's bringing up the meth comment that his eyes look like. I don't know about that. He doesn't look like a lot of the meth heads that I know. But the eyes do look a little freaky and creepy.
Don't be surprised if the eyes change in the next
six
weeks.
I would hope. Or how about by Saturday?
Well, that'd be even better.
There is, well, and they pay a lot of money for these outfits, right, too. So Joseph writing in from New York this morning, Joel Lazito says, who cares how to say Fajardo, Fajardo? All it matters is winner. When we come back, Garnet, we'll get to your offensive line question. Mike Abou-Meshrick and Marshall Hamilton in the bunker today, episode number 22 of the Rod Peterson Show. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, iTunes, and iHeartRadio.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and tune in. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Tuesday morning sports update on the Rod Peterson Show. Angels lefty Tyler Skaggs had posted a photo of himself and teammates in cowboy hats for their week-long trip to Texas, where he was to start on the 4th of July holiday. But the 27-year-old pitcher died yesterday when he was found unresponsive in his hotel room in Texas. Police say they are investigating, but that no foul play is suspected. The Blue Jays begin a three-game set at Rogers Center today against David Price and the Red Sox. Price scheduled to start against his former team, while Trent Thornton is scheduled for Toronto in the opener. And Leafs GM Kyle Dubas made quite the splash on the opening day of NHL free agency. He began his day with a six-player trade with Ottawa, then signed veteran Jason Spezza to a one-year deal. Dubas then ended his day with a blockbuster, sending forward Nazem Kadri to Colorado for Blue liner Tyson Berry and Alex Kerfoot. So today is day two of free agency, and we'll see what happens there. Garnet is watching up in North Battleford. He's got an O-line question for Mike Abou-Meshrick, and they did look pretty solid yesterday in that 32-7 win over the Argonauts. He said, Mike, the O-line is the key that has unlocked the Riders' offense. Do you agree?
You can say that about any offense. You know, I think I could play. I think any one of us could play quarterback and in a very high level if we had all the time in the world to find the receiver that we wanted. So I think that's just a blanket answer. Yeah, any offense needs a fantastic offensive line. They probably got eight guys that could play. They probably got eight guys that will start this year. Why did they do that? Because the starting quarterback needed some protection. So we got a really good, really deep offensive line. Almost too good that we're going to have some really hard decisions later in the year, probably to do with cap money. But yeah, it's allowing Cody to do what he's what he does. You know, having a we saw what Franklin had to deal with yesterday, whoever was
protecting him.
If you got no time, you can't run any offense. You can't do anything. So unfortunately, that's just my blanket answer. That's always going to be my answer
And to throw an illustration to support what he's saying, I mean, think about it when you're a kid playing touch football or flag football or whatever you're playing, and you said, okay, you got to count 10 Mississippis or 10 elephants or whatever. The reason why you play that kind of thing is because any quarterback, if you don't put some time pressure on him, is going to eventually find somebody open and complete it. So the less time you've got, whether you're playing 10 elephants or whether you're playing, you know, 10 yards off the ball and you can sprint from there to rush the quarterback, the less time the quarterback has to throw, the more mistakes they're going to make. So the Riders' offensive line is giving Fajardo the time to complete his passes. And on the few occasions where he doesn't have enough time, he's mobile enough that he's scrambling out and finding an alternative receiver. So hats off to the offensive line number one and Fajardo for being as mobile as he is.
Yeah, and so he has all this time to make the plays early in the season. You keep making those plays. His thought process is going to be quicker. And that's what you mentioned, a handful of quarterbacks that failed in Saskatchewan, not because of their technical ability necessarily, but because they weren't afforded that time so that their thought process could be quicker. You know, throw that out, throw this. They're being tackled before. So, I mean, and that's football. It's the ultimate team game. I got a block, so you have time to throw to the receiver that's open.
And if you don't have the time, guess what happens to your confidence? It starts to go down.
Everybody's
and
confidence.
If your confidence isn't high,
so is your
paycheck. then your decision making's not as good, and your outcome is not as good.
A couple things. I'm just going to drop drive-by's comments on Gaynor as we continue on the football discussion. 80% of respondents on our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll today from our Twitter feed saying they are giving a thumbs down to Gaynor, the new Gaynor. Kelly Rempel writes in and says he looks like he should be standing at the corner of Saskatchewan Drive and Albert Street wearing a hospital gown directing traffic. Have you ever seen anybody do that?
They just need to get a red Sharpie and draw some like veins in his eyes and everyone
then he would really look
bad. Right, cool.
Yeah. So we're just doing the drive-bys on that. I got so many things. We will get to all your comments as we go along. Nashville on Facebook says, Taron Vaughn did a great job. If he continues, Coleman will be out. That's the right tackle position. And when on Saturday I read that there was going to be a change at right tackle, the first thing I thought was, ooh, that's like a 54-game streak starting for Thad Coleman, at least at right tackle. I think he started every game since he got here. And obviously, these coaches, believe it or not, know what they're doing. So there was something that they liked in Taron Vaughn or didn't like in Thad Coleman, and the offensive line was outstanding in the football game yesterday. So we will get to your comments, but I got to get to the Mike Riley BC Calgary game, the Mike Riley Bo Levi game, and we're waiting to get an update on whether Bo Levi is even healthy enough to play Saturday night for Calgary here at Saskatchewan. That might affect the line. Marshall shaking his head like he doesn't think he will be. But I want you guys' comments on this. BC's defense blows the game. Am I right in that? 14 points they gave up in the last 2 minutes. I was at a birthday party Saturday night watching the game, and I'm seeing Calgary march the ball down, throw a touchdown, get the onside kicks. I'm like, that's 9, not 19. Hey, guys, this is Arbuckle. He looked like Bo Levi,
yeah.
Right? Because he had a gun, and then they're showing Bo Levi, and he's going like this. I'm like, oh, this is not good. Of course, he comes down, and they're a machine, and they win. And then Mike Riley, from what I saw, blew up on his sideline after the game, which, by the way, I don't have a problem with. I saw Rick Rippon do the exact same thing when he was the captain of the Regina Pats. I don't mind a leader ripping his teammates for not getting the job done. I don't. And Mike would have been pointing the finger at himself too, I'm sure.
But he didn't. But he pointed at the defense.
He
and that's
did.
Something that you don't do
okay.
in a football
game. So you take
room,
the floor.
You
this is my point, Marshall. I did not expect
line.
This reaction.
I don't know anything. You asked me a question about defense. I'm like, I don't know. What did you ask? I don't know. So, Marshall, tell me about that offensive line blocking scheme that they had. No idea.
You should speak for Marshall.
I don't know. So, I won't speak for him.
But I'm teasing. Do whatever
in
you
our
want.
Locker room, we would never cross that line. You don't cross that line. You don't go over to the defensive side because I don't have a clue what's going on. I don't know whose fault it is, whether the defensive line didn't have the pressure, whether they called
the blitz.
It looked
like he was yelling at all of them, just in general.
Yeah, you know what? Don't take a $900,000 salary and go get yourselves another couple players that'll
Here
help you win.
There we go. It started, Marshall.
Well,
the
first,
money.
First of all, I'm always, you know me long enough to know that I'm going to look at things objectively. Objectively, I can't comment too much on this because I don't know what was said.
Yep.
You know, if I see, me yapping at you on video and looking really mad, I don't know whether I'm saying, Rod, this was entirely your fault that we lost this game. I can't stand you as a human being. I never want to play with you again. I hope you get cut. That's bad. If he had said something, I'm exaggerating, obviously.
I wanted the green Gatorade, not the blue Gatorade.
Saying, Rod, I want you to remember this feeling right now because we all need to take this feeling in and remember it because when we come out next game, we have to use that as fuel because we're going to need everybody on our team to win next week. Remember this for next week. If he says something like that, then the guys are saying, okay, that's a leader that's telling us how to capture this, put it into our bodies as fuel. So what did Mike Riley say? Don't know. Mike Riley's a leader. I don't think Mike Riley's the type of guy that cuts other people down. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's just looking at, he's reacting as we probably all would have, but he's saying things that are motivational for the future, not negative to cut people down.
Fair enough. Were you watching it? You
yes.
said you weren't, or
yes,
you were?
I was.
So you saw he was yelling something. We just don't know what.
I don't know what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I didn't see it
so
either.
It's sports. We can talk about what we think he said. That's what's fun about what we do around here.
Well, we were at that birthday party. He said, did you see the BC Calgary game? I'm like, yeah, BC blew them out, right? And you're like, no, they came back to win. I was like, what?
You didn't see the end.
No, because...
And Arbuckle looked good.
It seemed like it was great. Over, and, I go to sleep at 8 o'clock.
And here's why I was shaking my head when you said, we don't know if Bo Levi Mitchell's going to play. I don't know the results of the MRI. I think the MRI is probably happening as we speak here on Tuesday morning. But here's why I think that Dave Dickinson is smart enough to say the season is not won on this would be game two for them, right? Or game three for them. And I'd rather have Bo Levi Mitchell for the last half of the season, even if the MRI says he doesn't have a pectoral tear or whatever his injury might be, I'm still going to hold him out. It's good to have some experience for Arbuckle, who played remarkably well in that comeback win, deserves a lot of the credit. So I don't think we'll see Bo Levi Mitchell in this game this week. So if I'm making the Vegas odds, they've changed because Bo Levi Mitchell's not in the lineup.
Jack from Calgary writes in this morning. He says, Nick Arbuckle is more than capable to run the offense and a great guy to top it off. Calgary needed to win. A lot of young, capable athletes that just don't have the experience. I don't know what got cut off.
Jack had me until he said he's a great guy.
Well, we're waiting. Great guys run the Kinsman Club.
Yes, sir.
That's what we say around here. Thomas says maybe he was yelling, great game, fellas. We'll get him next time. It sure looked like it.
Probably not.
It looked like he was ripping his teammates and... whatever, maybe he'll discuss it when the BC Lions reconvene for practice this week. I don't know. I just know what it looked like to me. And they did blow the game, so if he was yelling at his defense, I wouldn't even blame him because they gave up 14 points in 2 minutes.
Maybe he was saying, I shaved off my beard for this?
And his legs!
He shaved his legs, too.
There's a song.
A boo.
There's a country song, I shave my legs for this.
Oh.
So, we wake up on a Tuesday morning and the Saskatchewan Roughriders are in fourth, if I've got it right, because the BC Lions are winless at 0-3. Now, what surprised me around the Dino Bouncer at that birthday party on Sunday was all you ex-players, you went immediately to the money. that Mike Riley took too much money, and if you'd have taken 50 grand less, and I'll say it was Chris Best who said it, I'll out him, that could be one outstanding defensive rookie player on the field that might have stopped one of those touchdowns. So it's on Riley. You were in agreement that he's greedy taking too much money.
I didn't say he was greedy taking too much
money. No, I added that.
But that was because you should get paid as much as you can all the time.
That's what I think.
But... yeah, that's what it comes down to. You know, I'd put it more on the GM. You know what? I'm not mad at anyone for getting paid or going to tell anyone how to spend their money. If you play follow the money, you don't have to you just have to come to the conclusions. You really don't have to make decisions. All their money's there. That means none of their money's here. Some of their money should be here, but it's all there. So I don't even think it's up for debate. I mean, we can talk about it, but yeah. If Riley got paid what a normal CFL awesome player got paid, $500,000 for 5 months of work, that's $100,000 a week or you know whatever, break that down, there'd be $200,000, $250,000 left. You got two outstanding players, $125,000 each.
And some players do that in the National Football League and sometimes in the CFL, just not as often.
Let me say, that's three players because now mm-hmm. you got two players making 60 each. You just got another infusion. That 60 is 120. That's one player, and the other money is two other players. You got three outstanding players instead you got three holes in your lineup.
So you heard me say this a week ago in this chair. I said, and I used the analogy, I said, if you've got only so much money at home to buy a vehicle, to buy vehicles with, you can have a Ferrari and a pedal bike, or you can have two BMWs, your choice. Which is going to be more efficient for you and your family and your lifestyle? And I said that there's going to be a postmortem, or there should be a postmortem at the end of the season, and look at the pros and cons of how much money was spent on Riley, Trevor Harris, Bo Levi Mitchell, and what was the cost to the rest of the organization because of the extra $200,000 or $300,000 a year you had to pay those guys.
Yeah, if Caleros isn't on the books for the rest of the year, the Riders could bring in those one or two players that I just talked about. Those two players aren't sitting on a couch watching the Rod Pearson show right now. But, you know, maybe there are. Maybe one used to wear number two here. Maybe one used to wear number five here that are watching right now that maybe come in if something happens, right?
It's an interesting take by you guys on the money. So you're just saying that more so as fans than if you were a current teammate of Mike Riley's. About maybe they don't view it the same way as what you guys are saying, and maybe if you were current players, you might see it differently. This reminds me of a discussion, even when they signed Mike Riley for $700,000, BC, and Calgary did with Bo Levi for rumored to be the same amount. It reminds me, Marshall, of the Pats were practicing in Langley, BC. 20 years ago. Boy, am I getting old. And Garth Butcher came to watch the practice because he's living out there. And Josh Holden had just signed with the Vancouver Canucks, had never played an NHL game, and they gave him $975,000. So I'm standing with Garth, we're watching practice, and I said, Butch, you never made $975,000 your whole career. Do you not have a problem with this kid who's never even stepped foot on NHL ice making that? He's like, nope. We're all in it together. Get as much as you can. He didn't hold any resentment whatsoever against this kid. And he said that the Canucks dressing room would not either when he did crack an NHL lineup. So I think the players are mostly, like, is an American rookie making $52,000 or $54,000 looking up at Mike Riley with any kind of jealousy in the locker room?
Maybe a little bit. But if I'm a player and I'm don't like the fact that my quarterback makes $700,000 or $800,000 a year and there's less money for the rest of the team, I don't blame the quarterback. I blame the general manager. That's the guy I'm going to hold accountable. And that's the guy I said, when I said there should be a postmortem done at the end of the year, the postmortem should be done by the owners of those respective teams and say, did my general manager make the right decision when he signed this quarterback for $700,000 or $800,000 a year? What was the overall impact on our success as a team? Did we win the Grey Cup? And that was a good decision, or did we not win the Grey Cup or not make the playoffs? And that was a bad decision. We don't know the answer to those questions yet, but
too early to tell.
Let's talk in week 20 of the season or something, and I'll have some answers for you.
Fair enough. Breaking news, if it's breaking. Clark telling me, our producer, that CTV's Daryl Rommel is reporting 1,275 people have signed the petition to bring back old Gaynor. So the question to me becomes, how many can they get ultimately, and how many is it going to take to bring back old Gaynor? Because I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think it ever matters when you do these petitions. I'm sure there have been some petitions that have worked, but I don't think this is one of them. I don't like the eyes. I think they're creepy. I don't think the writers care. Clearly, they knew what they were doing when they ordered this mascot suit, paid a lot of money. I don't think they care what people think.
I don't think you'll notice the eyes when he comes out next week with the raincoat on and opens it up, and there's syringes in one side, and there's pipes in the other side. So the eyes don't matter.
So you like those two beady little black dots that he had before? That was the pinhole?
It was iconic. That's what everybody fell in love with.
Yes.
If I'm Craig Reynolds and listening and watching to all the feedback, I'd tweak it. I wouldn't come back with old Gaynor, but I'd tweak the new Gaynor. I mean, if his eyes went back to look like old Gaynor, then what are they going to criticize? You shouldn't have a skinny Gaynor. You should have the fat Gaynor.
I'll get used to it. Love it.
They will. And once he starts doing some antics that you can do when you've got a more mobile outfit, I think they'll start love the new Gaynor.
Yeah, well, that require you to be happier while you're doing them, like body surfing. Yeah, you have to be happier, you know? You can't be like pinhole, like...
I don't know. It was a fun day in the old ballpark yesterday. That's what I know. Milt Stegall was body surfing in the two-hour break. Did you see that, Abu? It was on television.
I missed that. I saw when everyone was yelling, Henry, like right while he's
I heard
to,
about it. I didn't. Oh, talk. That's that funny. God bless Ryder fans.
Everyone's the whole panel's laughing and trying to be serious at the same time because they're like right in his face, like a foot away from him with their fingers.
That's why it's fun to be there. When they say it's better in the stands, it is better in the stands. I saw people complaining about ticket prices and so forth. It just depends where you stand on that. They announced 30,000 and change for the attendance. I thought it was a well-attended game. I'm glad I didn't get wet. I wouldn't have wanted to be out there. We were sitting in the Capitol suite. Again, thank you, Capitol. Looking at the people that were all alone in a section, and we're going, why would he stay out there? Does he not know he could get hit by lightning?
They were ushering them inside. They weren't allowed to stay out there.
Some were. So I should have got a picture of it. Clark's telling me we have to break in all caps. Wrap up now, says Clark. We'll be back in a moment and continue the Tuesday morning discussion. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and iTunes and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price. You pay what we pay.
Check out this loaded GM-certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox. It's employee priced at just $22,998 plus tax. Or get into a GM-certified pre-owned fully loaded Cadillac CTS Luxury. It's employee priced at just $35,915 plus tax.
Employee pricing at Capital GMC.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.